Good morning. Is this on? How are y'all doing this morning? We are so glad that you're with us. We are especially glad, and he's going to come in just a moment, but we especially appreciate Reverend Bennett, who is going to be bring our sermon this morning, and we're glad that he's going to be with us. Take just a few moments. Is anyone that this is your first time with us? Wave at me. No. All right. Stand, and let's greet each other. There are lots of announcements in the bulletin. Is there any specific announcements that someone would like to reiterate this morning? All right. There are lots in the bulletin then for you to look at. Any prayer requests or praise reports this morning?
Praise.
Yes. Good. Wonderful. New babies are so good. Yes?
As most of you know, Sabella left Monday for Russia. She made it as far as St. Petersburg, where she became very ill. And she's been in bed ever since. Thank goodness, Yaroslav's mom was already there and has been taking care of her and Amelia. Hopefully, by this weekend, I talked to Yaroslav Friday night to get dinner with her. And hopefully by this weekend she'll turn the corner so that she can get somebody up here on Monday. She did have word, though, that all she has to turn the passport in one day, and then they'll register it, and she'll get it back on Tuesday. But right now, she's down in bed.
That's her heart.
I talked to him last night. He talked to her yesterday, so it's the first day she's gotten up. Mm-hmm. So she has, at least yet Saturday, has gotten. She said that she was so sick she can lift her arms.
We need to remember her in our prayers. Anything else? Yes.
Larry and Carol are obviously traveling, and I'm due to Yeller for the week, so nobody have any problems. This is going to be a blessed week for everybody, okay?
All right, y'all heard that. Okay. All right, let's pause for a moment of silence as we invite the Lord into our midst this morning and the lighting of our candles. Amen. We do indeed welcome Jesus into our service this morning because he is the light of the world. In your worship folder, you'll find our call to worship, and it is responsive. Let us worship God. God sent Christ into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God's love endures forever. God is our refuge and strength, our present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart as of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Love endures forever.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 97. All hail the power of Jesus' name. I'm not supposed to be here either. However, here I am. I'm leaving out in just a little while before the service is over to go to Columbus, Mississippi for a mission presentation this evening. So pray for me as I travel today. Let's sing the first, second, and fourth. One, two, and four. Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, He ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Hail Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that without the sacred throne we at His feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting throne and crown Him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting throne and crown Him Lord of all.
Good morning, and let us pray. Our Father, we come before You, and we come to adore You. For You are the Lord, and it is You who look deep within us. And we know that out of experience that it is a good thing to be in Your house. We adore You. We confess, O Lord, that there are many things that we have done that we should not have done. We confess to thoughts that were not good. We confess, O Lord, that there are things that we have said that we should not have said, and things we have done that we should not have done. And so we come pleading the shed blood of Jesus Christ for our sins. We thank You, O Lord, for health and strength and daily food. For supplication, we ask, O Lord, Your blessing upon those who have a hard way to go. We pray, O Lord, for those who are sick, and those who are sick in spirit, especially. And so we ask, O Lord, that You hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's remain standing for our statement of faith. Don't just say it. This is what we believe. And it's a precious time in the service. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Our call to confession this morning is 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let's together confess to the Lord. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. 1 John 1:9 gives us our assurance of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that truly is our blessed assurance.
Turn in your hymnal now, please, to hymn 345, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture, the burst of my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
I got an email Friday asking if I would sing the special, so I guess that's part of the reason why I came today. But anyway, choosing a song, I chose a song of thanks to God. And I've often thought, when an atheist has been really blessed and he's just been had blessings poured on him from all over, who does he thank?
Says I'm lucky.
Praise God that we have him to thank for our many blessings.
the things you have done for me. Things so undeserved that you give for your great love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me, and with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary, Calvary. With His blood He has saved me, and with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
Have our offering in just a moment, and after that, after our next song, Russ is going to read our scripture, and then we are delighted to have Reverend Bennett with us, and he will be the one bringing our message. We're glad you're here. All right. Our offertory sentence is found in Genesis 28:22, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. If our ushers will come forward, please.
Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful that we have life and breath, sunshine and rain, all the wonderful things that You have provided for us. Lord, You created a world for us to nourish and to tend to. Lord, everything that's here was put here by You. Take these offerings, not only these monetary offerings, but the offering of our life. May it be used for Your glory and to uplift and to increase Your kingdom here on this earth and in this community. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Thank you.
Turn your hymnals, if you will, please, to hymn 514, In My Heart There Rings a Melody. Of all the times that I have asked over the years people to sing in the choir or to do a special, I hear this a lot. Well, I can't sing. Well, I have a solution. This is a joyful song here, and everybody has something in their heart that makes you happy. So if the Lord blessed you with a good voice, I want you to sing out real loud. Now, if the Lord didn't bless you with such a good voice, I want you to sing louder than the others, cover them up, just to get back at Him. Okay?
I have a song that Jesus gave me. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. On Calvary, for He washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony, when the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of
love. Scripture will be from Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer you your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance to the with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prospering, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fever serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Russell, thank you so much. I want to say something about our needs. My wife's in a wheelchair, and right now she's in NHC in Cool Springs. But we've been around this town for about 20 years, and I have no central site, so I have to have people to tell me who they are because I can't see anybody. So occasionally we need help. Right often we need help. And I've discovered something, that whenever I need help in this town, always ask a teenage boy. And they're the finest bunch of teenage boys in this country. And they have beautiful manners. And they're the most helpful people I know. And that's how I realized that Russell Dornan was the little boy who used to come over and sit over here and he'd read scripture. And I asked him for help one day down at the Piggly Wiggly. And he introduced, scrambled up from it down on the floor where he's putting up stock. And said, "I'm Russell and I'm Margaret Post's grandson." So thank you. Now, whenever I stand up to preach, I'm always scared to death. See, I have no notes, nothing, no props. So, would you pray for me, please? Because preaching is God's act. And God, a man can deliver the words, but when it becomes a Christian sermon is what God does to send it to somebody back here, somebody over there, over here. God sends it where it wants and it becomes a sermon only through a specific act of the Holy Spirit. So would you pray for me? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the fire and burn, and come as the wind and fill. But however you come, please let it be yours. Amen. Amen. This morning I'd like to talk with you about the difference between being religious and being Christian. Now, there's a very large amount of difference between being innately religious and being Christian. and you can kind of identify it as you go along, but I want to give you these illustrations for it. One is on being religious, and this is something in a lot of people, and it's sincere. A sincere desire to reach the heart of God. And so here are these people out here, and they want to reach the heart of God, and it's a genuine desire. It's born in them, really, really. And so what they do is they get a charismatic leader, and with this one charismatic leader, they can get him, get into it. And whether it's on TV or a mega church, there is the security of knowing that now I'm in the right group. And with that comes the assurance that everybody else is lost and damned and going to hell. Therefore, it's a sin to go to visit another church, because you've got to stay with the right people and hear the right things. Now, along with this, with being religious, is you've got to have somebody to hate. Really, you've got to have somebody that you can pinpoint, and that's the source of all the evil. And so, if you're on the winning side, you've got to have somebody to hate. Now, a few months ago, many months ago, a young woman was talking to me about the election, and she said, it's the principles involved in this election. And I said, you're talking about love and honor and truth and integrity and compassion for the poor? And she said, oh no, it's not that at all. She said, it's gay marriage and it's abortion. And I listened to her rhetoric and know that she hates queers. Got to have somebody to hate, and that's a group that she's picked out. And her great-grandmother's half-sister's stepdaughter had an abortion. And she didn't like that branch of her family. So she hates queers, and she hates abortion. And there it is. But she's on the right side, and she's got religion. Well, along with this matter of having religion, you've got to have rules to go by. I remember one terribly cold day when I lived up in Sumner County, and this little girl had such a pretty little granny dress, and it was as cold as whiz. And I bragged on her dress, and she giggled and pulled up her skirt and showed me. She said, I really got jeans under it. But she said, our preacher says that it's a sin to wear jeans. And so Mama made me these dresses so it could hide my jeans from the preacher. And that's religious. You ever known anybody like that? I've learned to avoid religious women especially. Now, religious men have got rules. But religious women, that's something else if you're a pastor. I think the meanest woman I think I've ever known in my whole life. And we were in the same church for about 4 or 5 years. And she was a master of religious assassination. She'd pick out somebody and fold their arms over that big old bosom of hers. And she'd say, well, I believe that if you can't say something nice about people, don't say anything at all. That was her spoken line. But when somebody mentioned Jonathan, they had trouble over a line fence 40 years before. Somebody mentioned Jonathan, and she'd say, well, if I told what I could. And everybody put their own spin on his character. She watched every young girl growing up, and when somebody mentioned Mary, she said, well, if I told what I could. And everybody put their spin on that little girl's character. Whew. She died a year or two ago, and I said, Evelyn, I want to go to her funeral. And Evelyn said, as much as that woman caused trouble in our church, Why on earth would you want to go to her funeral? And I said, I just want to be sure that she's dead. I'll tell you, I had the best time of anybody that ever went to a funeral home. It was wonderful. Well, that's religion. And the thing is that you got to work hard for a whole lifetime. And you see, when it's a matter of working, and as Mr. Cantrell used to say, it's helping God keep you saved, you're never sure that you've done enough. A lot of sincere people dropped out along the way. There's no certainty that you're ever saved, that you're ever going to heaven. But you're working hard to work your way in to the heart of God. And that's religion. Now, Christianity is entirely different because it begins in the heart of God with a personal relationship with a man named Jesus. You see the difference? You see, it begins here and it reaches out. Religion is working in, and Christian is reaching out, both from the heart of God to the heart of God. Now, one of the best illustrations I know of this is in the Word of God, when Paul goes to Philippi, and in Philippi he goes down on the creek bank, down on the river bank, and there are some towns like that that its focus is there, Savannah, Georgia, a lot of the old towns along the Mississippi and Ohio. It's the riverfront. And he goes there, and there's a settlement of Jewish people. And down there, he finds a prayer meeting going on, and a bunch of people reading, studying the scripture. He finds a woman named Lydia, and she's religious. If she were not religious, she wouldn't be there. And there are many options she could have, but she'd been barred out all of her life. And in every church, there are some people who feel like they've been kept out. For one reason or the other, they didn't belong. And they're out there. And first of all, Lydia's out there because she's female. I don't think Paul ever liked women. But he grew up in a sect that, in a religion that didn't like women. So they were barred from the inner reaches of the temple. Again, she's a literate woman because she can read, and not every woman could. She's a very good businesswoman because she deals in luxury goods. Purple is a real luxury color. And so she's in business. And he starts with them, they're studying the Word of God. And he starts back there with the Word and comes through to reach a man named Jesus. And that's what makes the difference, is a man named Jesus. And to work through it till you find it. Now, let me share out of my own heart very deeply. I was saved in a Baptist revival. And I went to, I grew up, your mother just told us we were old school Presbyterians. And therefore we were immune from Sunday school or church. But we were old school Presbyterians. The Baptist revival under conviction for several years. I went to the altar, and I don't know what I said, and I don't know what he said. But almost automatically I was a member of their church. And I was the best member that church nearly ever had out of a teenage boy. I was there every time the doors were open. I was there, I started tithing then on my money from my hay baling, picking up hay bales. Started tithing there for BYPU and everything else. And I went through this uncertainty. You know, was I saved? How did I know I was saved? And you know, there are a lot of people who believe, spent their whole life like that. Am I saved? Well, in that process, I finally reached a point of desperation. And a year went by, and when the revival came around again, I cut bushes a hot afternoon, all day, I'd cut bushes. And I prayed, and I'd go over the scripture verses that I knew. And finally, I got to the stable to feed my horse that night. I got down on my knees and I said, "Lord, if you haven't saved me, I reckon I'll never be able to be." And when I quit trying to save myself and relaxed, wow, you know, and I never had to worry about it since then. When I quit trying, let Him. Now, when you surrender your life and let Christ come in, my experience was at a corn crib door, but when you let Him come in and quit trying religious, then it becomes Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, out of that comes something else, and that is the certainty that you're saved. You know, have you got it in writing? People tell you anything. Got it in writing. You see, don't ever go by how you feel. Because your fear, emotion in religion is the most deceptive thing in the world. Sometimes I'm hot, sometimes I'm cold. Sometimes I'm religious, you got Christianity, and sometimes I feel like I'm not. But you know, when you began with the Word, and out of that is the Old Testament filled with the mighty acts of God. Begin there. And in reading the Old Testament like history and what God has done, and then finally He fills it full of meaning. That line in the New Testament says this was fulfilled. What it means is that God, it was filled full of meaning in a person named Jesus Christ. And the thing of being Christian is that's the only answer I know for guilt. Now, Lord, if you all knew some of the stuff in my head and some of the stuff in my past. Cousin Joe Garnett one time said, his mother said, "How are you, Joe?" And he said, "I'm doing fine." He said, "If it wasn't that I had such a wild, misspent youth and such vivid memories of it, I'd feel like I've been cheated now." And that's Cousin Joe's witness. And there's this stuff in my life that God knows I'm guilty. It's born in, a lot of it's born in. Young woman has given me just plain hell after Evelyn and I married. You see, I'm divorced, and she's divorced. And I love that lady, and we married. And that woman gave me just plain hell about being such a sinner and going to hell. And I listened to her rant for over an hour or so. And finally, the Lord gave me the only answer I ever found. And that was this. That Jesus Christ died one Friday afternoon, about 3:00, 2,000 years ago, so that I don't have to feel guilty. And then I said, "Now you shut up and I'm going to bed." And that's the only answer I've ever found for my sins. To tell whoever's condemning you, shut up. And I got to get some sleep. Let that cover it. You see, that's Christian. Christ loves people like me. And if you're honest, Christ loves people like you. I found out a marvelous way to get rid of religious people. I listened to this stuff only so long. When I get tired of it, I got a way to clear the whole deck. I tell them that if Jesus Christ were coming up here in this community, to have an interdenominational meeting, and he invited, and he had 30 Methodist, 40 Presbyterians, preachers, 18 Baptist, and they were all coming up here for church. They're going to have this religious rally. And Jesus is going to be here for the 11 o'clock worship hour, serve communion. And he heard that a friend of mine over yonder, almost to Franklin's, dying with AIDS. And he went up there to John, spent the afternoon with that boy dying with AIDS, and never did get to the preachers and their meeting. And you can tell people that straight, and I mean, they're out of here. They're gone. That's the stuff of religion, is you pick out your sinners. And you're condemned. Because Jesus loved people like us. Now again, I said you begin with the Word, the mighty acts of God. But if you're the Christian and there's this marvelous freedom, how do you respond to it? And Russell, the words you read in the 12th chapter of Romans, if you want to know how to live the Christian life, go to the 12th chapter of Romans. And it's all spelled out there. I love the Word. You see, many years ago I went to a right good school, and I spent 3 years there, and when I got through, you know what I remember out of going to Vanderbilt? All I remember out of going to Vanderbilt was William St. John saying that only relationships of honor are going to last. 3 years and all that tuition. In one line, only relationships of honor are going to last. And I don't care how close friends you've got or how good a neighbor you've got. Once you lie to them, you signed off on that friendship. It may take 10 years to do it, but that it's going to end. If you use somebody in any way on earth, use their body, their mind, their spirit, in any way, that's the end of the relationship. If you cheat them, lie to them anyway. Only relationships of honor are going to last. And as a Christian, it is our privilege to be sure that it's an honorable relationship and you keep it that way. Not so you can go to heaven, but because you got a man named Jesus and a love affair going with him. Does that make sense? Only relationships of honor are going to last. But St. Paul is such a thoroughgoing man about giving instructions. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your money, so. Present your beautiful poetry. Present your beautiful stuff. Present this old body a living sacrifice. Give your body to him. Again, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that means, give your body means that Christ in your hands. So that when you reach out and touch with that hand of yours, that's Christ touching. You see where I'm going? These feet of yours. Where are you going to go? Christ in your feet. And if he wouldn't go there, you don't have any business being there either. You see? Not because you don't get to heaven if you do it that way. But in response to having a man like that, so fine and so good and so wonderful, beautiful. Got a friend that fine. Inside your heart, your feet go there. Your mind, sex, everything about you, his And so this is the way you express it. Now to sum this up, and you can go wherever you want to go with that idea of Christ in you. Christ in you. Wow. You know, I've had a hero ever since I was a little boy and began with Jack Armstrong. You know, an athlete named Dusty Rhodes. Baseball cards, before that I didn't even need them. Always had a hero. And as an old man, I'm looking forward. And you know, I want you to go to the funeral home when I die and stand around and tell people that old Brother Bennett was looking forward to it. Because when I get there, you know, when I close my eyes here and I open them over there, it's going to be his eyes. You know that look when somebody has met your eyes and looked deep in your soul? Jesus is always looking at people. Again, when somebody has touched your hand and made a difference. Boy, I used to be down here at the drugstore. Now, how many times he'd reached out and touched me in the back of my hand and said, "Mr. Bennett, thank you for trading with us." And that boy never did know how much that meant to me. But see, when the last sensation down here, it'll be the touch of his hands. Just being with him. Wow. Got a love affair going. Got a hero. A person named Jesus. And bless your heart, that's what it is to be Christian. You work so hard and follow the rules and be with the right people, and it's such a hard job being religious. It's such a marvelous thing to know a man named Jesus. And that's the difference between religion and Christianity. Now, I said this before from this book, but I wish I had a good illustration to drive it home to you. You know, so that you could know how to go about it. How to end a sermon. I never did know. You know, an introduction and a firstly and a secondly and a thirdly is always Presbyterian procedure. Other denominations copied it some, but it's Presbyterian. Now, I never did have a proper conclusion, now in conclusionly. Never did have one. But you know, the pleasure of being here is knowing that I don't have to have a closing illustration for this sermon. How do you end this relationship, the difference between Christianity and religion? I don't have to try to end it here. See, because you've got a whole lifetime ahead of you. And you can bring it to its conclusion. And to God be the glory. Amen. Thank you. Our closing hymn, please.
366.
We'll stand as you sing. And you know, there's a decision you can make right there in the pew where you are. Make that space an altar. Right there where you are is say, "Lord, I've tried so hard and I want to do more in serving me, knowing Jesus." So you can do it right there in the pew, or if you will, to come to the altar. Let us sing.
In His presence daily live.
myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Now, before you go on into this day and into the coming week, I want to give you the blessing. Now, to receive the blessing, you have to hold up your head. Open it. Square your shoulders. If somebody here, you wouldn't be here. Now, and I'm going to give you the blessing. Then when you receive the blessing, you don't say the amen. Then you pour the physical field for amen. And then you turn and pass the blessing to the person next to you. Alright? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Go, and the blessing of the Lord go with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Well, yeah.